Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. It's hour three, so you guys know what that means. It is my friendo, Casey Bubba. You can find him on the Twitter at BDEntric, and he is here with me. And what is going on with you? Are you in self-isolation? Are you social distancing, Bubba?
I'm trying to the best I can. I'm still working, but my wife's been practicing self-isolation for a long time, so that's good, or social distancing, however you want to put it. So it's everything's good in my world. I just have the dogs hanging out with me, talking with you, and just dreaming of a day when we have sports again.
Now, the Welsh made this point, and it's absolutely right that, you know, in a world where nothing was going on, the NFL comes in and swoops in and saves the day. I mean,
yes, they did.
I don't know if it was really purposefully, because the NFL didn't want free agency to go on as scheduled. They actually wanted to push it back, but the NFLPA, thinking that they had already given up enough in the previous CBA negotiations, which we found out on Sunday, were ratified and were good to go, and we're going to have labor peace until 2030.
Outstanding.
You thank God. Yeah. I mean, nobody wants a lockout. I mean, if it was going to happen, it might as well happen this year, but let's just have it not happen at all.
Yeah. So. MLB, you're on the clock. Go.
Yeah. Yes. MLB, let's get it together. But we got all that stuff. And of course, the biggest piece of news outside of the big trade, I mean, Hopkins going to Arizona.
Bill O'Brien. Find the biggest bridge.
I mean, you know what? Let's just go ahead and start there. Let's just go ahead
sorry.
And start. You know, no, you
so
know,
bad.
We should. It's not because Brady's huge and it has a big impact. But Brady's huge, not necessarily because he goes to Tampa Bay, but it's because it changes the quarterback market. But let's just start with what happened first. And that the DeAndre Hopkins trade happened first. And I remember texting with Chris because I woke up. And I woke up maybe about 10 minutes before this trade happened. And I woke up and I see DJ is going to Houston, but we don't know for what yet. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be like a fifth round, fourth round pick, something in that neighborhood. And then I see Hopkins going back to Arizona in this trade. And I was like, someone posted it in the football group me room, which, you know, you're in there now.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And I looked and I'm like, somebody got. Somebody got by the Adam Schefter.
You gotta check the check marks these days, guys.
Look for the check mark. You gotta do it. And, but so I'm like, you know, I go on Twitter and, you know, in all transparency, where do you think I am first thing after I wake up and I'm looking at this?
Going toilet.
Yep. On the crapper. Sitting on the crapper, reading all this. I'm like, oh, you got. There's no way. And then I look for Adam Schefter on the Twitter machine, see him. Click on his name with the check mark, and it actually is him. And I was like, oh, my God, this is really happening. So Hopkins goes to Arizona. DJ goes to the Texans. I mean, what was your initial thought when you saw this trade? Is it what the F are the Texans thinking? Is it, man, DJ gets some value, or maybe even Hopkins gets some value? I mean, what was your initial thought? What was the first thing that crossed your mind?
Well, first, I wasn't on the toilet like you were, but I was in a similar situation where I had a buddy text me and go, hey, or text a group chat I'm in that DJ went to the Texans. And I'm thinking, that's not bad. He could help out with, you know, Hopkins and company, Deshaun and everything. And also, that could be an interesting place for him. And the buddy that texted me, these guys aren't really savvy in Twitter. I know it's cute. People still don't believe in that thing. But they weren't on that, so I just pick out my phone real quick and take a quick gander. And I respond back, I'm like, you left out the big part, DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona. And then we were all shocked because I wanted to know, like, how many first-round picks were coming with DJ and whatnot. None. Like, it was the worst trade I've seen in a long time. The fact that I agreed with actual Twitter for once saying, in a fantasy league, this would get vetoed.
Yeah,
like, this is such a bad trade.
My favorite thing was people were trying to do it on Madden, and even on Madden, they're like, the Texans are not interested in your crappy trade offer. You know what I mean?
And, it's so true.
The official, it was Hopkins and a 2024 to the Cardinals for David Johnson, a 2022 and a 2021 fourth. So that's
not
an official deal. And and there was a thread. Someone on Twitter had a nice thread going around about all of the wideouts that had been traded for a first round pick. And, you know, Hopkins wasn't one of them. And there were some bad names in there. Yep. There were some really awful names on that list. And some of them you look at, you're like, well, that's just a bad trade for whoever gave up a first, for sure. But Hopkins not getting you a first when the Texans already didn't have a first in this year's draft because they traded for Tunsil from the Dolphins last season. So I don't know, man. Ooh. Just it's a bad trade. Let's talk about the fantasy impact real quick, and then we'll go through the rest of the wide receivers here. But Hopkins going to the Cardinals, do you boost him? Do you leave him the same? I mean, this is a high passing offense. What's your initial thought on Hopkins? I mean, he doesn't have a lot of room to move up anyway.
Exactly.
But are you moving him up?
Yeah, I'll leave him the same for now because there really isn't much room to go. Between Hopkins and Julio and Michael Thomas, they're all pretty much like 1A, B, and C, depending on, you know, Michael Thomas probably 1A, and then if you want to have Hopkins second and Julio third or whatever, they're all right there at the top. They're all justifiably elite wide receiving options, and I'm just looking forward to the fact you have now Hopkins in this high-powered, high-octane Cardinals offense. It's got to be a big boost for Kyler Murray because you got Christian Kirk and there's other talented receivers. Fitzgerald's coming back. Like, Kirk can work out of the slot now where we saw so much effectiveness at times last year. That can be tremendous. Second year for Murray in this offense. I think and the fact that they got to keep their high picks, now they can go draft offensive linemen to actually protect Murray. This offense can be amazing and a very, very good NFC West.
Yeah, and I mean, you're 100% right. And you know, outside of Hopkins, because he does, there's not a lot of wiggle room, like you just said. But I think Kyler Murray gets a nice boost here as well. Are you with me on that one?
100%. I think it's a tremendous boost for Kyler Murray. I haven't done my rankings or anything just yet, but
come on, man! It's March 19th and the world's ending. Where are your rankings?
I'm still in baseball.
Man. I haven't done my rankings either. So
forever in a day. But you got him. I've seen some people say as high as third behind, you know, Lamar and a couple of them. I wouldn't go that high, but I'd say maybe just top of my head like fifth, sixth.
Yeah,
I wouldn't argue it.
Looking at Fantasy Pros ranks, which you know. It's early March or mid March, so it's a bit much. But Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Watson, 1, 2, 3. You can't put them ahead of those guys, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's an easy three.
Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray.
With these weapons now, I would give Kyler a very strong thought.
Okay, because he's ranked. Kyler Murray is 5 right now. I'm a little surprised.
Which I could see that.
Dak is behind him. Josh Allen's behind him. And A-Rod is behind him. But they have him in that tier of Wilson, Murray, Prescott, Josh Allen, and Rodgers. So all guys that kind of run a little bit as well. So understandable. Because after that, you get the guys that are kind of statues but throw for a ton of yards. You know, Breeze, Wentz, Ryan, Stafford, Winston, Tannehill and Newton. Tannehill not really.
Hey, Tannehill can run. Don't doubt the man.
I just said that. I just said Tannehill can run, and because you have his jersey, still,
he got paid. We'll talk about that later.
Oh yeah, he got paid and then some for sure. What about DJ? You know, we'll break down more of the running back and wide receiver moves in a little bit. But DJ is a tough nut to crack here because you have his back issues, and you know, Joe mentioned on the Black Book, and I think a lot of people said this as well. We thought maybe he's just done. You know, he did not look like the same back. On the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast, I said, hey, you're David Johnson. What is your public statement? And the Welsh had a perfect, you know, like, I'm going to prove to everyone that I'm going to be all the way back, and I'm going to be one of the best running backs in the league and stuff. I'm like, that might be word for word what he says when he makes a public statement. His initial, let me just ask you to take a crack here. And no judgment if you're way off or, whatever. David Johnson's rank among running backs in a PPR format as of, mid-March right here. What do you think it
18.
Is?
18.
Okay, it's a little lower than that. 29.
I'm not going to say it's wrong. I haven't even looked at the list, but that's right. that shows you how the mighty have fallen.
He's behind, and this you got to assume that a lot of people were putting their rankings in. I mean, I think they only have it's 35 people so far as of March 19th, and I don't know how when the last time these guys updated was. I guess we can see most of them. Let's see, 18, 18, 17. All right, so we got about. Looks like half have updated since the trade. Maybe a little over half have updated. I mean, some people dropped their rankings, in early January and haven't updated since then. So he's 29 as of right now. But with this trade, I think he's going to move up and up and up. We've got guys like, Montgomery ahead of him, Damian Williams, James White. I think I'm putting him ahead of all of those guys. Are you with me on those?
Yeah, I'm always a James White fan, but with we'll talk about Tommy later. Yeah, I'd move him ahead of them.
How about Lindsey Connor Kerryon?
Lindsey Connor Kerryon. Lindsey doesn't catch it as much. Connor, I'd put him ahead of Lindsey. I don't think I'm going to put him ahead of Connor just yet. And I still, for some dumb reason, have hope for Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, I would put him ahead of all of those guys.
Connor.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a Connor guy.
I know. That's why I'm mad. That's why I'm
one
surprised.
Of my favorite players in the NFL. He's inspirational, all that stuff, beating cancer and coming back and playing. Guy can't stay on the field. He's constantly banged up. Tremendous runner. But I know that the Steelers have interest in using their second round pick on an RB. So I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm not going to be in on Connor this season. What about Marlon Mack, Devin Singletary, Mark Ingram?
Well, with the new addition to Indianapolis, you'll see some checkdowns there to Mack. So I think I'd still take Mack over DJ. And who were the other two? I apologize.
Mack, Singletary, and Mark Ingram.
I'd have him maybe ahead of – he'd be like close to Ingram, but not ahead of Singletary and not ahead of Mack for me.
Okay, so I would have him behind Ingram – and ahead of Singletary, but behind Mac. So the Welsh and I talked about this a little bit earlier, and by the time this comes out, we may know, but Melvin Gordon and the Bills seem to be flirting right now. So we'll see if we get a deal done there. And if that happens, Singletary gets pushed way back because Melvin Gordon, of course, is a great back. So we'll see as far as that goes. But I think the rest of these guys, you can't move DJ over. We've seen him outperform the rest of these guys, but from what we saw last year, we can't move him ahead of Gordon, Bell, Carson, even Gurley, who will be finding a new team fairly soon here. But Kenyon Drake, the way Miles Sanders ended the year, and Josh Jacobs, you can't move him ahead of any of those guys, right?
No, not at all. Not a chance.
So I think what you initially said, 18, right?
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going to have him, is between 18 and 20. So I think that's a good – it's a good guess. I mean, you might have him a little bit lower because you said you wouldn't put him ahead of Connor or Kerryon.
He'd probably be – I just pulled it up now. He'd probably be, based on what I thought, maybe 21-ish, 22.
Yeah, in that neighborhood. So, just a huge trade, and we don't get trades like this in the NFL very often. So with nothing going on, let me ask you this. Is there a trade that will ever be broken down and looked at more than this one?
Probably not, for the fact that it's really like a massive head scratcher on, like, there's the rumors of the relationship of DeAndre and Bill O'Brien. And I don't think any of us will ever know what really happened there. But, to a caliber player like DeAndre to go for what feels like a small return, and DJ, like, as much I would love him to be great again, we don't know. And maybe the fact that they don't have a real receiver anymore, he'll get a bunch of checkdowns, but we don't trust it because we haven't seen it in this offense. So it's going to be I don't know if there will be a trade that happens with this much conversation, like you're saying.
Yeah, there's just there's nothing else going on, And I think
that doesn't help either.
Yeah, I think even people that normally break down baseball stuff are looking at football right now because, you know, football has movement. You know, that's the big thing. The other trade that happened here amongst the wide receivers was Stephon Diggs getting flipped for a much bigger haul than DeAndre Hopkins, which is just crazy. But the Bills acquired Stephon Diggs and a seventh round pick in exchange for a 2021st, a 2025th, and a 2026, and a 2021 fourth. So they got
good on the Vikings.
Yeah, the Vikings got a haul for Stephon Diggs. But to be honest, I think it's a bit of an overpay for the Bills, but they needed it, right? They need a big target for Josh Allen. Yeah.
That's the problem, is they need it badly, because how many times last year do we talk about John Brown being the go-to guy, and then Cole Beasley of all people having good games, and then no one. There was zero help
anywhere
else.
Dawson Knox had some big games, and Dawson Knox was
brutal.
He caught like two or three touchdowns last year, and he didn't catch one in college. So that was kind of crazy for me to see. I mean, he's incredibly raw talent, but how far up does this move up or down Diggs' value, in your opinion?
It either leaves it the same or moves it down, because as much as I think it's a great real life move, because Josh Allen and the Bills needed this, when it comes to fantasy, we saw it with John Brown. It's all, you know, home runs or not for the most part. I just don't think Diggs, I think he was a better fantasy player in that Minnesota offense with Thielen than he's going to be in Buffalo. So that's the way I look at it. It's good real life, not so much fantasy.
And we got about a minute here, but Diggs is 21 right now in Fantasy Pros, PPR. He is behind Ridley, Lockett, Parker, Kupp, and Juju. You take all those guys over Diggs?
Ridley, Parker, Kupp, or Juju? I take Parker for sure, Ridley, Kupp. Juju's my only question mark, because I don't know who's playing quarterback. I'm assuming Ben's playing quarterback. But
yeah, he'll be playing.
Yeah, so then I probably take all of them over Stephon, yes.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, we're going to see how far down Diggs has to go on Casey Bubba's board here. And then we'll get into talking about TB12 and a couple more running back moves. So stick with us. We'll be right back here on the Sports Grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Grid, the Sports Grid. Get on the grid, stay on the grid, all that good stuff. No getting off the grid. It's not going to help you right now. Just social distancing. Stay on the grid. Stay abreast with what's going on. Don't get off the grid. But you know that it's hour three, segment two. So I am here with my friend OKC Bubba at BDNtric on the Twitter machine. And plug everything, KC. Segment two. Let's go.
This is for your buddy Joe Pisapia. There are other podcasts to listen to besides the Black Book and the ITL Army. I'm just going to say Benched with Bubba is one I recommend listening to also. but we're still blowing and going and churning during these fun times that we're living in now, having so much fun talking fantasy baseball, talking baseball movies, and other things. So go check that out. Doing some writing at Roto Baller, and everything else is kind of slowing down right now. So just check me out on Twitter at BDNtrick, and I'm keeping content to flow in the best I can to keep everybody their minds at ease during this matter, just like you guys are at ITL. And it's awesome stuff you guys are doing.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have time to listen to more content, you know. So, you know, check out Bubba's stuff. Check out our stuff over at the Army. We're putting out bonus stuff. I'm doing more live streams and stuff just to hang out and answer questions and, you know, kind of keep people entertained and whatnot. I mean, we talked about, I don't really think I can talk about what we talked about on the live stream yesterday, because a lot of it, you know, it always devolves to porn. Like, it, whatever conversation I'm having, I don't know why, but it devolves to porn. So it got into that section yesterday where we're discussing, you know, I mean, hey, look, you're self-isolating and you're alone. So I don't think it's that surprising that it went there. But we talk about football. We talk about baseball, basketball. We watch movies sometimes. Normally, I like to do, my favorite live streams are Thursday Night Football with Bogman, because the Thursday night game is usually garbage. It is not a good game because those guys don't have enough time to, you know, to rest up to get ready for that Thursday game. So sometimes we'll play bingo and stuff. But right now I'm trying to get stuff with, I lost a bet and I have to watch a Bollywood movie. So I'm thinking maybe I'll do that on a stream.
That's price of Patreon by itself.
Folks. Right, right. And this is, you know, I open up those streams to all levels on our Patreon. So that's as cheap as a buck. $5 will get you our secret shows that are all comedy based for me and the Welsh as well. So, you know, you got all kinds of options. So, you know, I was even giving Bubba a couple TV shows I think he would be interested in watching as well. So hopefully you're home from work. You have a little bit of extra time to do some stuff for yourself and to take your mind away from some of the panic that we have going on. But we were talking about Stephon Diggs, and I was on the wrong sheet. I thought that Fantasy Pros would update automatically because I was already on PPR ranks. So Diggs in PPR is actually 18, so he moves up 3 spots, and he's ahead of Cup Ridley and a couple of those other guys behind Parker and Juju and stuff like that. So, but you said you would take Cup Ridley and Ridley ahead of him, correct?
Yes, I would.
Robert Woods is at 21 now.
That's tough. I would probably still have Diggs, but that's pretty close.
I would take Woods because I think Cooks is going to get traded or cut.
That's true.
So I think it's going to be Kupp and Woods. And then, you know, Kupp has had some injury stuff in his past. So
that's a good call. And Woods had some monster games last year.
Right, right. And Higbee is obviously going to tick up a little bit. I think he's going to help as far as, you know, whenever Cooks ends up going, whether it's a trade or he gets cut. I mean, the Rams just so far over the cap, they have to get down, and that's why they cut Gurley and Clay Matthews, and Cooks is on the chopping block as well. What about DJ Chark? Some people are big DJ Chark guys. Here's why I would take Diggs ahead of Chark is I think that there's a possibility that Jacksonville, with that early pick, uses it on a wideout. And if they do, it's probably going to be either CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, maybe even a Henry Ruggs, but it's going to be someone with enough smoke to take away from the other receiving options in Jacksonville. So I think for that reason, I would take Diggs over DJ Chark. Where are you on that one?
I would take Diggs as well, because besides just the chance of a draft pick for Jacksonville, we've seen it time and time again with DD Westbrook, Chark, and company. In the receiving corps, they've always had a lot of options, a lot Marquise of inconsistency.
Lee. Yeah,
Marquise Lee, which one day maybe I don't know, chance that it happens. And then Minshew Mania. As much as I love Minshew, I think he's great for the game. He never, at least unless I'm totally forgetting this wrong, never really had a go-to guy. He just ran around and made it happen to whoever it worked for. Sharks seemed to always be better with Foles. It felt like to me in the smaller sample we got. I could be totally wrong here, but it felt like Minshew was more of a slot receiver guy, and Chark was moving around the outside a lot.
Yeah, Minshew, coming from Washington State and the Mike Leach offense, he doesn't lock in on a guy, which is actually, you know, it's a good thing. You want your quarterback to do that, but if you have a DeAndre Hopkins, if you have a Michael Thomas, if you're not getting that guy the ball, you're kind of a dumbass. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you got to throw the ball to that guy, even if he's covered, because, you know, those 50-50 balls, when you have a guy like that, turned into 70-30 balls for in favor of the wideout. And, I mean, that's why every guy that's over 6'4", you know, how many 6'4 corners are there in the NFL? Two or three, you know?
Yeah, if not nearly enough.
If you're 6'4", you become a wide receiver because you're a mismatch, 100%. So,
yep.
What about, this one's interesting.
Thielen, this one's funny. I know where you're going.
Thielen below Diggs at 23. I think I would easily rather have Thielen, right?
I think what this tells you, it says it's updated March 19th. I don't think all 35 experts have updated things. Let's just put it that way, because I would have Diggs definitely below Thielen. Like, I know they work in tangent together very well, but if you're telling me Thielen is for sure the number one guy, he moves up to, like, the Juju area for me, right? Like,
yeah.
I'd move him up quite a bit. Like, he's a top 15 wide receiver for me, and I think that's not even that blasphemy to say. So this proves – it might not be the most consistent update just yet.
Well, going down that rabbit hole real quickly, because, I mean, we could mess with the rankings
real quick. It says the highest he's ranked is 16th. So right. And the lowest Diggs is ranked is 35th.
Oh, jeez.
So there's a lot of opinions here.
Yeah, very true. But Thielen versus your guy Parker.
See, I really, like, I was a Parker fan going into last year. It's not Miami bias. He proved finally last year what he could do. I'd have Thielen ahead of Parker because, A, Thielen's the better receiver. I'll admit that. B, we don't know who's throwing to Parker just yet.
Yes. Okay. That's fair. So I just think that's kind of automatic. So if you want to...
Like, if Fitzpatrick came back, which I want them to do, like, go ahead and draft Tua. Let him sit behind Fitzpatrick. If Fitzpatrick comes back, Parker becomes much more of an equal play to Thielen to me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. These next two are interesting. Lockett or Diggs?
I'll go Diggs, just for the fact that I like Lockett a lot, but we saw so many just what the heck games last year because that O-line has not gotten better in Seattle, and Wilson, if he doesn't have the time to throw it to Diggs, it's ugly, and Diggs wasn't the most reliable guy either.
Yeah, I mean, not that. Lockett, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, he had boom or bust games for sure.
Yes.
I think I'm such a Lockett fan that I'm probably a sucker. Yeah, I'm probably a sucker and I'll go for Lockett. But I can tell you what, if you spent early picks on, you know, maybe you took Lamar Jackson in the second or late first and then you went running backs after that or, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe you went tight end first and then two running backs and you're looking at a number one wideout. As far as PPR goes, I think I'd rather go Diggs.
Yes, 100%. Lockett's like a number two or something. Okay, I'm cool. But yeah, if you're relying on him to be your guy, that's a shaky place to be.
Right, and then if he's your number two, if you've drafted Michael Thomas early or something, now you're looking more for upside than consistency, then I'd go Lockett, but that's a whole...
Well, look at, for instance, sorry to steal the show here, but right below Lockett, you have T.Y. Hilton with the Phillip Rivers, who loves to hone in on his guys like Keenan Allen.
Much rather have T.Y. Hilton.
Bingo.
We were talking about this on the Black Book. I'm not sure if you got a chance to listen this week at all, Bubba, but I brought up, I'm like, T.Y. Hilton is going to be unbelievably underrated this year. He's just...
We've seen how much Keenan Allen just eats on Rivers. Rivers is going to just dart him on those slants all day long.
Yeah, all he's got to do is stay healthy. But, I mean, having Chark ahead of him and Lockett ahead of him is a bit surprising to me so far. So I think I'd have Hilton ahead of those guys, and I'd definitely take him over Diggs. The next, I think, three or four here, this kind of group, I think all the way up to I think everyone where Michael Gallup is, I would take Diggs ahead of. So I take him over Gallup. I'm a big Debo fan, but I take him over Debo. You know, Tyler Boyd should be better with Joe Burrow, but I take him over Boyd. So I think these next guys, though, DK Metcalf, Julian Edelman, Terry McLaurin, and Jarvis Landry and AJ Green. That group right there. That Diggs and those guys, I think I'd take Diggs over Metcalf. Where are you on that?
I'd say yes, because Metcalf's similar to his teammate Lockett. It's kind of a boomer or bust thing.
It's one or the other is getting the work, right?
Exactly. Where Diggs, then, well, I'll let you get to John Brown. It's like We saw what John Brown did last year. He's already got a rapport with Josh Allen. So how much is Diggs, unless he just forces it to him, actually going to be that much different than what Lockett and Metcalf is?
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. Edelman, that's a tougher one because we don't know who the quarterback is as we're recording this.
It's definitely not Tom Brady, though.
It's definitely not Tom Brady. So it could be Jarrett Stidham, but it could be Jameis Winston. So
I just can't see Winston and Belichick getting along. That's just a bad combo.
I mean, probably not. It could be a rookie. You know, they could trade for someone, or they could go get Andy Dalton. You know what I mean? They could
I like that.
Yeah, I mean that. So not knowing who Edelman's QB is, I think I would take Diggs over him right now. But I think if they had a Winston, if they had a Dalton, I think I'd go with Edelman.
Yeah, I'm going Diggs for now. And I agree with the quarterback of one of those two. I could probably go Edelman, but at the same time, we saw how beat up Edelman was last year. How much does he really have in the tank without like really having a serious injury is my question.
And how much is he going to want to come back? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if he has another him and Brady injury. And look how many other players, not just Brady. Like, that team is gone. It's a whole different animal.
Did you see somebody put together, it was Tom Brady talking to Julian Edelman about him from The Town, like the clip from The Town with Ben Affleck and Jeremy Renner. And he's like, I'm putting this whole city in my rear view. If you want to come visit me, you come see me in Florida. You know,
so good.
It was just perfect. It was just fantastic. The rest of these guys here, McLaurin, Landry, and Green, I think Landry with that hip surgery bothers me a little bit. So until I see him out there running routes and looking great, I think I'm kind of off the Landry train until
Landry's a tough one.
Terry McLaurin and A.J. Green coming off a year where he did not play, but he's got Joe Burrow now, and, you know, it's all hearsay and blah, 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 but I heard that the reason that they brought A.J. Green back was because Joe Burrow specifically said that he wanted A.J. Green to come back, so they put the franchise tag on him. Where are you with Diggs versus those guys?
Well, of course Joe Burrow wants one of the best receivers on the planet. No S, Sherlock.
But is he still one of the best wide receivers after missing all of last year with that knee injury?
I honestly think that's a blessing in disguise. That's like a year of no hits. I know it was a knee injury. I know that's scary, but we've seen the hits he's taken, always an ankle injury or a knee injury. He still is a year older, can't take that away, and he still has an injury history, which you can't take away. But as a 30th wide receiver off the board, he's gone as high as 10 in these rankings. Like, that's too high, but if you wanted to say, you know, a top 20 guy, I wouldn't argue it because he's one of those, you know, on a baseball term, he could be like a Giancarlo Stanton this year where he's going too low with the upside, but there's injury concerns. A.J. Green could be that guy. So I have no problem putting A.J. Green above Diggs. I would probably do that for one because I think Burrow is going to want to use him kind of like young quarterbacks use a Larry Fitzgerald, use that reliable veteran. I can see that with A.J. Green. And then Terry McLaurin, I think, is going to be really interesting. I can't wait to hear all the experts kind of weigh in on him this year because I think a full off season and those games that some might have written off at the end of the year, playing with Haskins is going to be better than he was. Like, he still looks shaky as heck, but him and McLaurin, they had that report from Ohio State. McLaurin is really good. So I could see I would be willing to gamble on McLaurin and Green because they are the main targets in their offenses.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that as well, as of right now. But a lot of those guys are going to end up being conditional. And I know that that is an annoying thing that I say that people probably roll their eyes at. Like, if you're just looking at, in a vacuum, Diggs versus Green becomes a little bit easier. But all of this matters on who you've drafted before you get to this point and what these guys are going to be to your team. Because, like, A.J. Green, you just don't want as your first guy, even though he has all that upside. But you can't put Green and Lockett together on a team. Well, you can, but
not
you shouldn't.
Not a chance. No. But imagine putting like a Hopkins and a Green. That's just beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, that is gorgeous right there. now, because we don't have a ton of time left in this segment, and we're kind of done talking about wide receivers, TB12 not being in New England and going to Tampa Bay. Let's just get your initial reaction to that. Got about a minute left here. So
anybody that followed me on Twitter knows my reaction when I woke up that morning and saw that beautiful Instagram post by TB12. And I said, waking up on a Tuesday morning to watching TB12 officially leaving New England and the tears of all the Patriots fans is no better way to start a day. So, I think that pretty much summed it up pretty good there. And everybody knows my feelings on the Patriots. I respect them, but I don't like them. And the fact Tom Brady left, and then he left the East altogether and went to Tampa Bay, big fan.
I'm still a bit in shock, because I said from the beginning I thought he's going to end up back in New England, but he is gone, and we're going to talk more about that and how it shakes up the QB landscape right after this break. So stick with us here on the Sports Grid, in this league, on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Endless Love. That's, you know what that means here. It is the final segment, segment three of hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow my friend OKC Bubba at BD Entrick. Follow the Welsh at Is It the Welsh. And like I said, check out all of our stuff over there on InThisLeague.com. That'll take you to our Patreon for $5 a month. You know, if you're bored and you think the Welsh and I are funny, there are 70 secret shows up there, and they're pretty evergreen. You know, it's funny stuff that we talk about there. It's not all sports related. So you can scroll back and listen to all of them. I mean, I think we probably have a couple uncensored mocks in there that are a little less evergreen, but most of the secret shows are comedy based. And I know my favorite one was, it's hard to even say this here. Bubba, do you know what a real doll is?
Yes. And I already know where you're going with this, because I'm pretty sure we've talked about this off air before, but, a real doll, to be honest, I'm surprised. I'm surprised I didn't see it when I visited your apartment, to be honest.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if I had one, I would have I would have put a beard on it and told you that I called it Casey Bubba. So, because that's my joke. That's why I want that. Like, I've said this joke many, many times, is I just want one of those, not because I want to use it. I mean, if I had it, I probably would. But I just want to put it in here so if I bring a girl home, I can just tell her it's her name. Like, just to see the reaction, not for
like
real.
Like Super Troopers, it has Ursula on her chest.
Yes, 100%. But we had a secret show, and between the Welsh and I, the person that gets the uncontrollable laughs more often, surprisingly to me, is the Welsh. Because I get it. I get it sometimes, but like usually I'll take a second and then I'll compose myself. But the Welsh. I said, look, man, the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, because for whatever reason, like I said, it devolved into real dolls. I said, there is a, I don't know where it came from, but there's a series of pictures floating around. And of course, like anything horrible, I saw it on Reddit. But there was like a convention of these guys that have real dolls at some hotel. I'm just assuming it's in Florida. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
know.
Makes
sense. Seems like a logical destination.
Right. I don't know that it was. It could have been
like a block from Disney World, probably.
Could have been Missouri. Could have been Nebraska. But so they had some type of sex doll convention, you know, or something at this hotel. And you see all these pictures of these guys hanging out with their, you know, I'm going to throw up air quotes here, girlfriends. They had their real dolls and stuff. And there's one picture of them. They had like a movie night. And
oh
all
my God.
Oh, yeah. It's the best picture I've ever seen in my life.
Do they watch Babes in Toyland? Or Toy Story? Which one do they watch? Let's just.
Babes in Toyland. You mean Toys in Babeland?
Well, that's the one they make later that night.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, they. There's this picture, and it's just one of those pictures where the longer you stare at it, the better it gets, right? Because, like, these guys are sitting next to their girlfriends, their real dolls, but some of them aren't the expensive ones. You know, some of them are like sewn ones. They're not.
No.
Oh, yeah. They're not the real dolls. They're like sewn together and pieced together. And one of them has a matching shirt.
Oh, my goodness. Like, does it say I'm Glad with Stupid with an arrow?
No, I think it's like a Superman shirt or something like that. It's weird, but it's one of those, you know, and then you start to notice the guys and what they're wearing and that stuff. And it's just, it's like a magic eye. You know what I mean? You could stare at it for a long time, and it just gets better and better and better. But anyway, that's just like one segment of one of the secret shows that the Welsh and I do.
Well, I have a question. Would you rather walk in on a real doll convention or a furry convention?
Ooh, furry convention. Because I think, like, the furry stuff, people know that.
It's at least two real people.
It's first of all, two real people, right?
Yeah.
Unless... there's the people that like those pillows and stuff too. That might be weirder.
Well, speaking of pillows, side story. Have you watched the Netflix show cartoon Big Mouth?
Yeah, yeah, I have.
So you know the pillow thing I'm talking about?
Oh, yep. Yes, I do.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I like the little pillow that shows up later.
Oh, it shows up later. It's adorable.
That show is fantastic. Yes.
Turns out, you know, I'm not his cheating pillow.
But I think if you're at a furry convention, not only is it normal,
normal loose word.
Not only is it two real human beings, but it's also like you can take the outfit off and then go home, hang it in your closet, and be okay. You know what I mean? You go to your normal job. I don't know if you can, if you're one of those people that, like, if you buy a real doll, that's one thing. Like, if you buy it to use it.
For your house.
Yeah, you stick it in your closet, and that's it. If you're taking it out in a wheelchair and pretending.
You can imagine they're sharing, right?
Yes.
That's, like, disturbing.
Well, there's a movie about it called Lars and the Real Girl. Have you ever?
Of course you know about this.
Well, excuse you. Why, of course, do I know about it?
I'm not judging.
It sounded pretty judgy right there, okay? And by the way, I didn't know about it. I saw it on Netflix, or someone told me about it. I can't remember. But it's this, it's a Ryan Gosling thinks his real doll is a real person and all this. But it's because his wife died and he's traumatized. It's a weird movie. But anyway, I don't know how we got here. But anyway, go on to Patreon.com. Patreon. Yeah. Go on to Patreon.com/ITL Army. Check out our secret show. So we've got 70 of those. Plus all the content, our rankings, all that good stuff, is up over there. So anyway, let's get back to TP12. We were talking about TP on the
break
too.
We're talking about that too.
He's going to the Bucks. Obviously moves the quarterbacks around. The one that we know is staying, Dak Prescott, got franchise. Drew Brees stuck around, 2-year extension with the Saints. Tannehill stayed. Philip Rivers, like you mentioned earlier, moved to the Colts. The Panthers kind of threw us for a loop by signing Teddy Bridgewater. Marcus Mariota is in Oakland. Vegas now, well, they might have to stay in Oakland because of the stadium nonsense. We'll figure that out at some point, I guess. But Marcus Mariota with the Raiders. Nick Foles got flipped to the Bears. Case Keenum signed to the Browns. A couple backups here. Chase Daniel and Lions. Jeff Driscoll with the Broncos. Joe Flacco was cut, and we're still waiting to see where Newton, Jameis, Andy Dalton, and Derek Carr all end up. So it has changed drastically, this QB market here. TB12 going to Tampa Bay. Are you lowering him in Tampa Bay? Are you raising him because it's a Bruce Arians offense? What's your initial thoughts there?
My initial thoughts is I was never high on him to begin with, and I'm not going to raise him that much because in the end, sure, it's Bruce Arians' offense, which is great, and sure, he's got some pretty cool weapons, but he still can't throw the ball like he used to. Like, I might like move him up a little bit, but I'm not going to go crazy with it and, you know, put him as a, you know, QB1. He's a QB2 for sure, and, you know, maybe just inside the top 20. It's tough to move him too much higher. I used to always, you know, have him next to Ben Roethlisberger. I guess you could still do that because Ben's a little old and fragile too, but I'm not going crazy like some people might with Tom Brady. It's still a guy that's aging. Think Peyton Manning as he got older. Still had, you know, he was good, but he's not going to put up those crazy numbers. He's going to manage games and win football games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Are you lowering Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and maybe even raising an O.J. Howard because of the use of the tight ends that our guy Tom Brady likes?
Yeah, the O.J. Howard thing is going to be a great conversation all offseason because, you know, can he catch a ball besides a foul ball at the Cleveland Indians game or wherever he was? But at the same time, Tom does love his tight ends, so it's tricky. That's going to be a fun conversation. But for the receivers, I'm going to lower them just for the fact that Winston threw like over 40 touchdowns. Brady's not doing that. And Evans got a lot of deep balls. Brady's not throwing a ton of deep balls every game. I'd be shocked if he did. I think Godwin will still be very good because you can run Godwin out of the slot, which he did at least a third of the time or so last year, was pretty good out of that respect. But Evans, he does take a hit for me with Brady in town.
What about Philip Rivers signing with the Colts? I mean, you mentioned before he's going to have a couple more checkdowns, so maybe you raise Marlon Mack, but maybe you don't. Maybe Nyheim Hines sees the field a little bit more as well. I think Jack Doyle has to be boosted up. We already talked about how we think T.Y. Hilton's going to be underrated. What are you thinking on Doyle and Nyheim Hines?
Yeah, I love the Doyle call. We know how Philip, he loved Hunter Henry. We saw how Doyle, when Ebron was out of the way last year, was even doing things with Brissett and company, and now Ebron's gone, so it's back to the Doyle show. I think he moves up to a quality tight end outside of that, you know, really good group of tight end options. We love Hilton. And then the running backs will be interesting because Hines seems like the PPR back. We were looking for it a lot last year in a big way. But Mack can catch balls too. People overlook that quite a bit. So I still think Mack's the guy. But we because you got to think, it's Rivers was in an offense in San Diego that had the two running backs. We don't know if that's the same offense they're running in Indianapolis. So as long as Mack's the guy, I want Mack. But, yeah, Hines could be interesting.
I talked about that a little bit with Lob on my War Room podcast. And my thing with Mack is, and he's probably going to keep proving me to be incorrect, I just don't know if long-term he's the guy. I just feel like if you brought in someone next to him, they would immediately push off Marlon Mack, and he wouldn't be the guy anymore. So, I mean, we'll see. You know, I'm just afraid that they could draft someone or sign someone. Like, wouldn't it be the most annoying thing in the world if they just went out and got, like, Devontae Freeman?
You know? That would be a very Colts thing to do, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a Colts thing to do, and it would be like, ugh, well, what do I do now? Now, moving over to Carolina and them taking Teddy Bridgewater. Look, I don't know there's going to be – I think Teddy Bridgewater's a step up from Kyle Allen, right? I think he's probably a step down from Cam Newton, but Cam is having a rough time staying on the field as of recently. So not necessarily, you know, to blame – he's not necessarily to blame for that because of, you know, just – the line not playing well. But I'm a little more concerned about Teddy Bridgewater taking over. I don't know that I'm going to lower DJ Moore or anyone on that offense, but Christian McCaffrey outscored. I mean, do you know how many fantasy points he had last year?
It was in the 500s, I think.
471.2.
Yeah. I had him on a team. He was huge.
Second highest running back was Aaron Jones. Just take a crack at how many points he had. 471
I'm gonna
for
go...
McCaffrey.
I'm going to go 380.
314. 471.2 to 314.8.
Quite the difference.
Quite the difference last year. And then Zeke had 311. Eckler had 309. Derrick Henry had 294.
And Eckler has Gordon out of the way this year, so watch out.
Right, but look at Christian McCaffrey had over 400 touches last year. He had 287 rushing attempts and 116 receptions on 142 targets.
How many Christian McCaffrey regression articles did we get to see this year?
Well, all of them, because how the hell could he do this again?
It's going to be like Patrick Mahomes last year, all over. Like, no, S, he's not going to do it again. Like, thank you, Sherlock.
Are you concerned about Bridgewater coming in significantly lowering McCaffrey? And significantly lowering him could mean he scores 150 fewer points and is still the number one RB.
See, that's the thing, is he's still going to be great. They worked him so much. You can't imagine they're going to do that again. You never know. New coaching staff, new offense in play can be interesting. He's going to get hit. He's still an elite running back, probably the running back one. I wouldn't see why not. So I'm not going to say that. But I think you're going to see more of is moving the ball around more with the tight ends and working on a slot with Teddy. Teddy doesn't seem like a big down-the-field guy, so I'd see McCaffrey's going to take a step back, just more so not as much even on Bridgewater as just you can't work a guy that much. New offense in play, you know, Baylor spread it out. Maybe Rule brings that system. That'll be the difference.
Now, do you think more quarterbacks here? If the Raiders keep Derek Carr, are you thinking Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota starts?
They needed to sign Jameis Winston. But like, imagine Winston with all those seafood buffets in Vegas. Outstanding.
Well, they're all closed now, but
yeah, but they'll be open for football. Let's be optimistic, Bogman. Yeah,
I'm trying.
But yes,
I'm all about a buffet. So
you and me both. this is a tough one because Mariota looks so bad, like so insanely bad. Carr had his moments, but it's the Raiders. It's Gruden. I think Mariota's got a good shot just because he's more athletic to avoid the problem.
How many games does Nick Foles start versus Trubisky?
I would be starting him out the gate, but you'd imagine Trubisky gets the first crack out of respect. I got Nick Foles starting, I'd say, at least 11 games.
I was going to say 10 for Foles and 6 for Mario.
I think like 10, like over under 10.5 or 11.5 is like a good line.
Yeah, for Trubisky. So I think it's going to be like the first three go to Trubisky. And then here comes Nick Foles, and then at the end of the season, Trubisky comes back in because they haven't made the playoffs. But, that's going to wrap it up. I mean, we still have a bunch of undecided stuff that we can talk about next week because you'd think, you know, because quarterbacks are almost always the ones that get figured out first, that Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, Derek Carr will all kind of be settled at this point next week. So until then, we're going to sign off here. I hope, you know, in all seriousness, I hope everyone is staying safe and taking things seriously here. You know, we like to make jokes about everything, but hopefully you're doing the social distancing and you're self-isolating, and we are trying to help you through that. So remember, you can follow us all on the Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Bubba, and at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we will see you guys next week. Have a good one, everybody. Take it easy and try not to panic. We'll see you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.